September 29th, questions and answers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, here it is, the end of September already. I cannot believe it. Now, during September, remember the theme was As Children. And why did I pick that? Because we must start to be like children. That does not mean be childish. That means to be able to believe. This thing called God does not ask us to try harder. God asks us to believe more. We came here on this plane of action completely equipped to not only survive, but to thrive. And we do that by using our creative faculties, which is the mind. Which is the mind. So, we want to learn how to use the mind and use it correctly. The title of this teaching is Science of Mind or Religious Science. It has to do with the mind. It's completely God-oriented, but we have to learn to use our thinking processes to bring into our life what we want. So at the present moment, what's going on out there in the world does not look very nice to us. So we have what we call fear, which reminds me of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who said we have nothing to fear but fear itself. So you cannot love God and have fear operating at the same time. That would be duality. So the unity that we talk about is always God. So in any situation like this, what we have to know is that God is always your supply, that God is the gift and the giver, and that everything that you need is supplied by God. But if you're going to judge by appearances, and you're going to allow the stock market in the situation of the economy of this country and the world today to influence you, you are not going to have a very pleasant time. Because what kind of a world is it that we live in? It's a mental world we live in. So we have to take responsibility for causing what is going on. The economy of this country and of the world is made up by race mind or the collective consciousness. And because we started fear way back when oil prices started to go up, other things started to happen, fear set in. And when fear set in, now we're in this situation where they want to bail us out at $700 billion, plus all the other things that are going on. Do not let that appearance influence you. It has nothing to do with you whatsoever. I'm not one bit upset about it. They'll come up with what they come up with. But the thing is, what are you thinking? Are you thinking that the economy is going down the tubes? If you're jumping on that bandwagon with everybody else, you see you're putting weight into that. So withdraw your consciousness and realize, that is not the world that I live in. That is not in my universe. In my universe, I know that God is the source and the supply of my good. And then you go on and use that. So I want to tell you, years ago there was a movie called Good Morning, Miss Dove. And Miss Dove was at the bank when the bank was ready to fail. Well, Miss Dove always put her money, she was a school teacher, she put her money every Friday in the bank because she was paying off a debt. So there was a big line of all these people trying to withdraw their money from the bank. And if they would have withdrawn their money from the bank, that bank would have collapsed. Miss Dove said, could I go to the front of the line? They said, absolutely not, because they thought she was going to withdraw her money. She says, I'm depositing. And so they left her go to the head. And she poked around long enough till 3 o'clock came and went. Now they could legally close the bank and wait till the next day. So the bank was saved because the next day they had more money coming in. The bank did not collapse because of one person who said, I'm not taking my money out, I'm putting my money in. Everyone now is worried about the stock market. The stock market has done this many times and will do it many times again. This is the best time in your life. You have to remember that. This is a wonderful opportunity for people to buy. If you want to buy stocks now. So don't let the economy cause fear in you when you think everything is going down the tubes. It is not going down the tubes. I had a call today from Christine. Does anyone remember little Christine?
Yeah.
The actress? Remember, she was the one we taught my income is higher than my outgo. She didn't do that. Well, she called because she's in New York and she's looking for apartments. And she found an apartment on the Upper West Side. A very nice place. The apartments are going for $4,000 and $5,000 a month, she tells me. But this belongs to a stockbroker, and he and the wife are in England doing something, and they want to rent the place out. And they're going to rent it to her for $800. Because they like it. She called and said, "Is this too good to be true, Dallas? What should I do?" I said, she said, "Yes, I want this apartment." And I said, "Then go for this apartment." "Well, they want papers, they want this, they want that." I said, that's in race mind, that you need credentials, that you need to prove everything. Once you move up into the law of cause and effect, once you are using your mental facilities, and you visualize yourself in that place, and you claim that place with your consciousness, then the papers mean nothing. So later on today, she called back. She got all the stuff from England. They're holding everything. She sent them her passport and her pictures and whatever else they wanted. And the wife said, "Well, my husband wants to see, I guess, financial things." I said, "Be very honest with them. Tell them you don't have that. But tell them that you like the place you've claimed in mind, you're going to take care of it for them, they already like you, and do it in a different way." You see, you do not always have to do that. Whenever I was out in the world, and I wanted to rent something, it never dawned on me that I either have first month's rent, last month's rent, and all that deposits and so forth, and I never paid them. I never paid them. Because they never asked me when I went in. Or they gave me something else. Something else always happened. I always got what I wanted. Because I never bought in to that system. And she's not going to buy into that system. So she's going to wind up with a very nice apartment. You see. Why am I telling that story? Because people immediately say, "Oh, well, they're getting $4,000 and $5,000 a month in this neighborhood. I'm not moving. I couldn't afford that. I can't get in there." Why am I telling that story? Because money is never the issue, people. Money is never the issue. The issue is what you're thinking. Can I afford this? Can I afford this? As soon as you say, "Oh, it's $5,000, I can't afford it," you've cut yourself right out. And here are people that are able for $5,000 to say, "Oh, we have enough money, I'll let you have it for $800. This is what money and prosperity and abundance is all about. This is what this class is about, prosperity, abundance, including money. But just because there's a price tag on something does not mean you have to pay it. Does not mean you have to pay it. Does that make sense to you? You see? I get tons of things that I can't afford financially, but I have them. Because they come to me in wonderful ways under grace. You see, you do not have to live in race mind, and you do not have to live in the economy that the government and the world is telling you is going on right now. Don't buy into that fear. Don't buy into that fear. All right, so before we get started with questions and answers, let me do my cards, because I love these tonight. Okay. Aha. One state in life is largely determined by one's mental attitude. What kind of a mental attitude do you have? Do you have a mental attitude always that says, "I can"? A mental attitude that says, "I am a success"? That is what we have to develop. And that is part of this thing, acting as children. Act as if you're already prosperous. You're already successful. Remember, we're always looking at the end of the journey, not the journey itself. If you want something, you look to the end, not to the beginning or the middle or anything in between. You concentrate on the end of the journey and you will get there. So when you realize that you can and that you are successful, that will happen for you. Everyone has his own individual atmosphere. I love this one. Everyone has its own individual atmosphere, the same as a flower has its aroma. So let us seek to build up a strong, positive, I can attitude, which leads to success. So think of that. What kind of an attitude do I have around me? What kind of an aura do I have around me? What kind of an aroma do I have around me? Do I show I am successful? Do people see that? You see, then you draw that to you. It's the law of attraction. It's the law of attraction. The reason why we bring up the idea of attitudes, remember, it's change your mind, change your life. Well, one of the easiest things you can do is change your attitude. And you know when you have a bad attitude. You probably don't like yourself so much, and it probably feels very funny to have a bad attitude. Well, now you know you can change that. You can change it very quickly. You can go from I can't to I can attitude. You can go from an attitude that I'm loving, worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. And that you matter. You see? You have to be able to do that for yourself. Catch the spirit of the word I can. And you have the key to a successful attitude. Know you can succeed and prove. And out, know that you can succeed and proceed to think, live, and act that strong conviction. Think success all the time. When you get up in the morning, the first thing that should be in your mind is, I am a success. This is a wonderful day. I can't wait to see how much more successful I can be today. I want to be so successful today that it makes me absolutely nauseous. You have to know. You have to be successful. God does not give us the spirit of fear, but of courage and a sound mind. Courage, remember, be bold, and mighty forces will come to your aid. In any situation, be courageous. In any situation, be courageous. And know that you do have a sound mind. You did not come to this plane of action with a horrible mind. I know years ago I thought when I was being created, whoever was on the assembly line put a defaulting brain in here. You know, for years I thought, well, that was, you know, that was the end of the day, or maybe I was made on a Monday, you know. They stuck the wrong brain in there. It took me years to realize that I have a sound mind. So if you're saying to yourself, you don't think your mind is sound, stop doing that to yourself. You have a sound mind. Why do you have a sound mind? Because there's only one mind. There's only the mind of God. And each and every one of us is an individualized expression of that one mind. You can't use any other mind. If you're using some other mind, there's something wrong somewhere. There's only one mind, the mind of God, and that is a sound mind. And you are using that. And you can learn to use it more and more. You must have a great desire for financial freedom. You must feel yourself rich. You must see yourself rich. You must continually prepare for riches. Continually prepare for riches. Especially in this atmosphere that is out there today. This is not a time to stop doing things. This is not a time to stop spending money. Now, I'm not saying that you go out and go crazy. But you cannot say to your mind, oh, I have to watch it, the world's bad. Oh, I have to watch my money. Oh, I have to watch this. Because if you're doing that, you're telling your mind something completely different. You're telling your mind that your money is no longer freely circulating in your life and that you have a divine surplus. But you do all this with wisdom. You don't cut things out of your life because of the stock market, because of this bailout thing, because of whatever else is going on. You lead your life the way you want to lead your life. Since we know that money is never the issue, your lifestyle should never change. Your lifestyle should never change. If you have a rich consciousness, you have to be rich all the time, regardless of what's going on the outside of life. You see, you don't start to say, well, because I will cut out coffee, or I'll cut this out, or, oh, we could cut back here, we could cut back there. No time for cutting back, people. Now, let me do this. You must have a great desire for financial freedom. You must feel yourself rich. You must see yourself rich. And you must continually prepare for riches. Become as little children and make believe you are rich. You are then impressing the subconscious with expectancy. You have to have expectancy in order to demonstrate. You have to know and feel that riches are coming to you, that money is coming to you. You have to expect money. When you go to the mailbox, you don't look for bills, you look for money. Now people will say, oh, well, who's going to send me money? Well, I never know who's going to send me money, but I get money sent to me in the mail, and I always say, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Always think of money coming to you from every channel in the universe. It will just keep coming to you. It will work itself out. It will work itself out. So all month we were talking about being as little children. Little children play. Little children play. And they make believe. I think it's the in the Japanese culture, they have an expression, when you say, what are you doing? They say, I'm playing at working. I'm playing at this. And they even go so far as to say, oh, he's now playing dead. He's now playing dead. You're playing here, kids. Remember, this is playing in the field of the Lord. Or, change that word, Lord, to the law. You're playing in the law of cause and effect, or the law of expectancy. And you're expecting wonderful things to happen to you. So that miracle follows miracle, and wonders never cease. And this is what little children do. So start to believe in miracles and start to expect. You see what's going on now? We're going to use the outside rules here again. Everyone's expecting the worst. Did you talk to one person that said, oh, wonderful opportunity, everything will be fine. I can see it growing, I can see it coming back. No, oh, it's going down, 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 down. It's done with your mind, people. It's a mental world. It's a mental world. Back to Christina moment. Larry, why did you, Christine, why was Christine able to demonstrate this apartment?
Because all things are possible with God. You can do this and more, and it's always going to be done unto you according to your belief.
Okay, Lord.
And that's why. You see, all things are possible with God. So you can have a $5,000 a month apartment in New York for $800. Because all things are possible with God. If we think supply depends upon people or material conditions, and then are worried when people fail us, conditions go from bad to worse. The only safeguard is to feel and know that God is our supply and affirm it constantly. And affirm it constantly. I, every morning, remind myself that God is the source and the supply of my good. That it does not have anything to do with the stock market. That it doesn't have anything to do with the government or any other person. It has to do with my belief in God. So God does not ask us to try harder. God asks us to believe more. So I hope that during the month of September, you learn that you can have the mind of a child again. You can start to use your creativity or that wonderful tool that you have called your imagination, and that you use it more and more and more instead of allowing the world to convince you that it's going to hell in a handbasket. People have thought the world has been going to hell in a handbasket since the second day of creation, and it hasn't done it yet. Okay? With that, I'm opening it to questions.
I have a question. How do you hold on to a visualization or an end result? Let's say you're holding that visualization or end result. How do you keep judgment or negative thinking from coming in and tearing that down?
Well, when you say judgment is always going to come in, they're called the aliens of your mind. They're the aliens that you're always fighting. So you recognize that. And now you have to go back to the idea that you must argue with your mind like a lawyer before the judge. And you must always make sure that you win. The mind, the ego mind, and the thought atmosphere that we're living in is always going to start to tear the thing down. The other thing is, if you're trying to make a demonstration, don't tell anyone that's not on your side, for God's sake. You know? Because they'll rip it to shreds for you. Now, you have doubt in your mind. Oh, Tessa can't do it. Tessa can't. This won't happen. So you always stay with people of like mind. And you work on that every day, Andy. And you see that stronger and stronger. You add something to your visualization every day. The same way of paint by number. You know the paint by number is all there. You see all the numbers, but the colors aren't in yet. So each day you add another one until you have the full picture that you want. When you have the full picture that you want, that becomes your reality, people. The reality that you're living now came to you by that process. You just don't know that you've colored your whole life in. But you've done it. Does that help you?
Okay, so along with that, I'd like your take on this, you know, studying treatments, and if you treat for something, say prosperity or whatever, and then the doubt comes up, and you keep treating for the prosperity, or you treat for the doubt, that the doubt is removed, is it a step process?
It's not a step process. We never, when the doubt comes in, you must immediately ignore that and deny that and go back to your vision of prosperity. You do not allow that. Do you remember when I put out the two, about the two wolves? Mm-hmm. Remember, you have two wolves inside of you. One's good and one's bad. And which one wins? The one that you feed. And if you start to feed your doubts, that's all you have is your doubts.
Okay, so if you become aware, you catch yourself doubting,
yes.
and then you say, quick, change the thought, and
yes.
Come back to, do you do the treatment again,
yes.
for the same thing,
yes.
Or do you treat the doubt the treatment?
No, you treat for prosperity. And here's what I always do. I believe, but help me with my unbelief. It's very simple. I believe, but help me with my unbelief, because you're always going to have a little bit of doubt. I don't care if you're the Pope, you're going to have a little bit of doubt. Okay. Does that help you?
Yes.
See, we get worried about that doubt. Don't worry about that. Don't look at that sign. Go right back to your prosperity and say, oh my goodness. And say to God, look, I'm doing all this work and this thing keeps coming up. Here again. It's a burden, isn't it? So why don't you say, I'm casting this burden to you, God. You take care of it. And then you are free to go on to your prosperity. But as long as you're caught up with that, you see you're not free. So you cast that burden, you give that burden to God. Now you are free to experience your prosperity.
Just on the same line of treatment, if you are treating for something and have been treating for something and you're not able to manifest it, and yet you really don't know what the blockage is, do you just let it alone and say, I give it up to you, I don't know what it is, but that's okay, and then be done with it? Okay.
You don't keep treating it? You don't.
I can't do this, but I know you can, God, so you take care of it.
So you've done all the steps and everything that you feel is correct. You get loaded nothingness out of the way.
Yes.
You try to treat it, and you're saying, okay, I can't manifest it, yet I desire this, and I just can't bring it in for whatever blockage it is. I don't know what it is. I don't know where it is or what it is. Take it. I'm done with it. You do it now.
Yes.
Cool.
And then I sit down and I give up on any idea that there's anything such as a blockage.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
See, if we believe in a blockage, we're going to have a blockage.
Sure.
So, that's money is always freely circulating. Not money is only circulating when I remove the blocks. It's like God. God's always circulating. God's always there.
Okay, so here's a kind of something that's... We've talked a lot about sort of divine design, different areas of the life, health, wealth, love, patience, right? And sort of in three of those areas, I'm feeling okay. You know, I sort of feel when it comes to what I'm doing, like if I'm feeling where I should be, the wealth, whatever. In the area of love and relationships, I truly can't visualize and picture where it is I either want to go with it. And I turn it over to sort of say, I don't know what you do. And I'm waiting for an answer. What do you do when you truly don't have, I don't know what to manifest, because I'm not sure what I really am looking for.
So, in a case like that, you say, give me a definite lead. Ask for a definite lead. You know, God knows the answer. You don't know the answer. Then, in this love thing, yes, which is one of the most difficult ones, I believe. The four areas are the four legs of a table. People can get one and two and three, but to get all four sometimes, they just can't do that. And the love thing, of course, one of the hardest ones. Why do you think that is? Because you say, well, I don't have a vision, I don't have this, I don't have that. Now you have to go within it, and you have to what? Know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. So let's do the math.
Thank you. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Life is an inside job. It's always going on inside of you. So when you're not receiving what you want, go inside and love yourself more. The whole idea in life is when we're out of sync and so forth, when things aren't going well for us in any area of our life, is because we're off balance. And we have to love ourselves back to center. We just love ourselves back to center. And we have to do that for ourselves. No one else can love you back there. You're saying, it doesn't matter. Your boyfriend, your husband, your mother, your father. No one can love you back to center. Only you can love yourself back to center by starting to realize what a wonderful human being you are. And by starting to recognize all your talents. You see, that's how you do it. Next question. Nellie, you don't have a question?
I'm trying to think of one.
All right.
Well, as a beginner on this path to getting what we want, is there a particular step you would recommend we take every day, or are there certain rituals, sort of things that you would recommend every day?
Yes, read the mental equivalent. I read it every day till it sinks in. The way you recognize or get yourself started on a different way is to realize that there's a completely different way to go through life than most people do. And to realize that you are powerful and that the words that you're using are powerful. That they do not go forth into a void. They go forth to do something and they come back to you. So if you say, I can't, you can't. If you say, I can, you can. Your words are very, very powerful. I am rich. I am healthy. I am loved. You have to use those words. Two most powerful words you always have are I am. That's the most powerful. So you train yourself to see when you say something, how long does it take to manifest? I can't get a parking space. I can always get a parking space. Money's always been circulating in my life. This is going to happen today. That's going to happen today. What are you saying? You have to hear what you're saying to yourself all the time. It's not with the power of the word. Does that help you? Just merely changing your whole outlook on life. You were never told how powerful you were. You were never told that your words absolutely, the whole, the Bible starts with, in the beginning there was the word. Why does that start that way? That's a vibration. You can call it the Big Bang if you want. But we're talking about vibrating. We're talking about vibrations. We're talking about energy. This is your power center here. And this is where your words come from. So they're very powerful. They're very powerful, your words. Rhoda, what is that saying you know about words that cut? Cut. The words cut.
That's sarcasm.
Sarcasm.
Sharing other stuff.
Sarcasm is tearing of the flesh. That's words doing that. That's words doing that. Words are very powerful. How do you think you heal people? Not by telling them they're sick all the time. You say, your words are powerful. You look great today. Oh, you're marvelous. Oh, that's how you do it, with your words. Very, you have to know you're powerful. You have to know how powerful you are. Did anyone notice it rained today?
Mm-hmm.
I caused it. Treated for it last week. So you have to know how powerful you are. Now that didn't happen. Last Tuesday, when I got up, the clouds were big and dark and they looked like rain. And by Wednesday, they were predicting rain last week. And today it rained. Now, people say, oh yes, but you treated last week. Every treatment you do is always an operation. Every treatment you do is always an operation. Which goes back to you, Laurie. Every treatment you do is always an operation.
An operation.
Is always in operation.
Oh.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. Okay. So what's your word?
See, they don't go out there and just drop off someplace. So you don't get it, and you keep making that affirmation. Here's the most wonderful thing to learn, people. This thing we call God is intelligent. You must talk to it intelligently. You're saying, oh God, you didn't hear that treatment. I better give it to you again. Well, maybe you didn't understand that treatment, God. I'll redo that slightly. Oh, well, God, I guess you didn't. I didn't get that yet. I guess we'll do it over here. No. God knows right away what you're saying, God. It's intelligent. So, that's what you have to do. Every treatment you do goes someplace and does something, but it's always an operation. So if you give a treatment, I am wealthy, you will get wealth. Your good always precedes you. You must walk into it. Does that make sense? Your good always precedes you. You must walk into it. Question? Nothing from the Baptist?
Not short and concise.
Okay, back to the race, all the stuff that's going on with the market and all the stuff today, so that you're bombarded with it. What do? You just kind of put a wall, a golden light around yourself that doesn't penetrate into your consciousness, or, I mean...
Well, it may penetrate in, but I don't keep it there. I just let it go right out. What good does it do me to even be one bit concerned about that? That has nothing to do with my life whatsoever. It has nothing to do with my supply, should I say. If I knew that God is the source and the supply of my good, then the stock market has nothing to do with anything. That's just a man-made thing. So now you're going to say, oh, well, where do you get the money? I don't know where the money comes from. It comes from where it is now. You don't put a channel on it. It just comes from where it is. So let the wall turn around. But give up that idea of the fear. Because it will be just like Job, what you fear most will come upon you. So don't fear it. And the only way we'll get out of the economic situation is when people change their minds. Now they'll pass a law, they'll do something, and they'll pump up the economy, and they're going to say, oh, well, now it's safe. You know the economy's safe. You know the economy's safe. And people will talk, oh, the economy's good, the economy's good. Right now it is, oh, you know how bad it is. You see the stock market, you see the small market, and they go, and then everyone's safe. It's a mental world we live in. Mental world we live in. Your mind is causing everything. And when I say your mind is causing everything, then if you get collective consciousness going, you see what you can create. You can create all that. But the economy of any of the world, the economy of the world, is created by the thinking of the people. When it's a good economy, everyone's thinking happy thoughts and stuff. When it isn't, we're not.
I would like to ask about, I want to be healthier, fitter, more exercising. Yet, I find that I'm not doing it, even though I want to do it. Yes. Any suggestions?
Yes, you have to start. You can't get away from that. People think, you know, remember the little German proverb that I have in my bedroom, which says, start to weave and God will furnish the thread. People want to exercise that if you don't move off the chair, it's not going to do you a bit of good. You must take the first step. You must do something. God helps those who help themselves. You draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. But you must make a step. You must make an effort. And then you start to do that. You say, start to do that. But you started out with, I want to be healthier. Well, you're never going to get healthier. Not with that affirmation. I just told you words have power. I want to be healthier. So what is she telling herself? She's not helping. And the mind hears that, and the mind says, oh, yeah, you're right. You start out with, I am healthy, I am fit, and I exercise every day. Then you start to do it. Everything, yes.
Yeah, on that subject, let's say there is a specific problem. You talked about your gallbladder one time. They wanted to take it out, remember?
Take it out.
So let's say something like that, when you're dealing with health, that's specific, that, you know, it's causing you trouble or whatever. Now, when you when you're doing a meditation or a treatment for that, do you then say, I heal, my gallbladder is healing, yes. or something? Or
my gallbladder is healed. Every system in my body is working perfectly. I have perfect elimination, perfect assimilation.
And then that would apply to like a sore throat, a headache, or yeah. a sprained ankle or something.
Because I know that in every cell of my body there dwells God. And I know that I have 70 trillion cells in my body, so therefore I must be very powerful. And then they'll say, oh yes, it's germs. Well, I don't believe in germs.
So when you're treating, you don't use words like hope or want?
No. Want makes you needy. Same way when you say, I need this, then you're needy. You must say, I have this. You already have everything. You just haven't peeled it back to see it. You see, just peeling the veil that's in front of you already. You know, it's a reflection you're just looking at. You have to get rid of that. Push it to the front. That's how you do it. Now, at the gallbladder situation, when I had the gallbladder situation, I took matters into my own hands. And I not only treated and realized that I wasn't about ready to get my leptum operated and my gallbladder out, then I did investigative work and I changed my diet. I changed my diet. You see, you have to use intelligence and you have to use wisdom. And I was eating too many greasy foods. Not when I'm here, that was when I was in Pennsylvania, they just kept feeding me grease, you know, by the cupful.
Oh,
here, have a cup of grease. So then I got to my gallbladder. But I fixed the gallbladder. You see. But you have to know that you can do that, and then you have to use your intelligence and your wisdom and so forth. It is that most illnesses can be healed by changing your diet. Because the food that we have been given on this planet has everything that is needed to heal your body. But you don't believe that, so you take pharmaceuticals.
Sounds like I hear something. I observe a lot about how thinking is coming. I had to take some tests, and for a while it was inconclusive. And the last time I went to the doctor, he says, well, the nodules aren't there anymore. He said, it's like a miracle. Now, he doesn't talk miracles. And I said, that's great. I believe in miracles. And then I thanked him for being such a good doctor. And he just looked at me like, huh? It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And also, fortunately, I'm a pretty healthy woman. Yes. And then I had to go, there were two different doctors I had to see. And I saw the other one, he was telling me about something else. And I said to my son, does this ever end? And before I could say another word, I said, yeah, I know what it ends, we're not going there. And the other day, I saw an ad for cold venison. Normally I would buy it because it was on sale. And I said, you know, you're not going to go.
That season's coming.
So it's fine. So it was very nice to think that.
Quite smart. What did Rebbe say there is absolutely wonderful. The whole idea, expect a miracle. Does anyone remember Catherine Coleman?
Yes.
Yes. What did she always say? I believe in miracles. You have to believe in miracles. I believe in miracles.
And it started the instant of belief?
Yes. All miracles are simultaneous at the moment of belief. So we're always working with our belief system to bring ourselves to that. But if you don't believe in miracles, or if you think the way Ray's mind thinks, and the way, and I'll bring this up one more time, brand name churches, miracles only happened in ancient times. The Bible has miracles in it. They say that's because that was ancient times. Miracles aren't out of fashion. Miracles happen all the time. Miracles happen all the time. Why do I have a card on my desk which says, "Thy will be done this day"? This is a day of completion. I give thanks for this perfect day. Miracle shall follow miracle, and wonder shall never cease. Don't you love it? So think of miracles. Miracles all over the place. But you have to believe in them. See? Why is that, Mark?
Because you get what you believe.
Yes. Always done unto you as you believe. So, if you don't believe in miracles, how are you going to get them? You have to believe first. Have to believe first. God does not ask us to try harder. This is Andy's favorite. God asks us to believe more. So you have to believe. And what you have to believe in is yourself. Everyone wants to believe in God. That's a wonderful concept, people. And I firmly believe that you should believe in God. But you have to believe in yourself. Why do you have to believe in yourself? Because all that you are is God. But you are not all that God is. And until you realize that you're connected with God, and you're connected with His power, that there is no separation, then you can stop pleading with God. And you can start being God. And right now you're pleading instead of being. Please give me this. Instead of saying, "Oh, I'm so powerful, I'm going to create this right here and right now." And then start to create. Somebody said, I can't remember who it was, but it is. Man is God afraid. Man is God afraid. See, we're afraid. We're God, but we're afraid. And that's what man is. Don't be afraid. There is nothing to be afraid of. If there is only one power, one source, and that power is for good, what can you be afraid of? What can you be afraid of? But that is so entrenched in our race mind thinking that when somebody leaves your house, you say to them, "Be careful." Because you think there's something out there that's going to get them. When you realize there's nothing out there but God, and that God is always for you, there's no fear. So if God is your source and your supply, and God is always out there, and God is always for you, then how could the stock market upset you? It will come back around. It will come back around. That's the nature of that thing. Another question?
A lot of people, and I'm guilty of this often too, like live paycheck to paycheck. And like oftentimes when I do manifest more money, I tend to go through that. And I want to build more of a consciousness of being able to hold on to money. How could I do that?
Money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. So you get your little red envelope out again, and you keep putting a dollar in and the dollar in until you convince your mind that you're saving. Donating a habit, spending is a habit, everything we use is a habit, people. It's just a habit. And you're so used to spending all that, you just keep spending.
What's the red envelope?
Yeah, what's the red envelope? Oh, darn. I will bring red envelopes for you.
There's actually an explanation of it on the website, wonderfulme.com. So if you look at that, you can actually read about it.
But I will bring more red envelopes, I'm sorry. I forget. Well, I have to keep backing up in this class because this class is prosperity and abundance, including money. And we want everyone to have money. Why do we want everyone to have money? Because money is freedom. You see, when you have money, you don't have to start. You don't have all those worries and so forth. Remember with the rich, the difference between the rich people and the poor people. Rich people watch their money go up and down. Poor people go up and down with their money. You see, so the rich people who have all this money in the stocks are not worried at all, because they just watch it. It doesn't affect them. We allow money to affect us because we think it means a great deal. Remember, and money is never the issue. Money is never the issue. Last question.
I have a question. It's not about money or prosperity, but lately I've had a lot of friends and colleagues sort of not betray me, but change, you know, and what they said yesterday is absolutely not true today, and I find myself feeling hurt and a little lost that they're not there anymore. And that's been sort of a pattern for me my whole life. Okay? People disappoint me, and I feel sort of abandoned. Why? What can I do to not, you know, let that affect me so much?
Oh, by realizing that you live in a mental world, and that you are causing that because you say, and it hurts them. That's a choice. You can either be hurt by it or not hurt by it. Now, it's not a nice thing when that happens, you see. But you have to just look at it differently and say, there's nothing wrong with me. I am not the target here. Whatever they're doing because of the way they are thinking. And I am innocent of any of this. And then you don't drag it back in. Remember the other day I gave you a little card that said, learn to live from your imagination and not your history. Don't live from your history. God never lives from history. What does God do?
Makes everything new. Creates everything new.
Yes, God makes all things new. God makes all things new. God's not in the repair business, people. God makes all things new. Does that help you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, that's kind of what I knew, too.
Yes.
It's hard to lose friends. Yeah. You know?
Right. I'm going to tell everybody here how wonderful I think you are. And the great changes that I see in everybody. Particularly, one of them is this young man. Does anyone remember when he first came, he never opened his mouth and sat there, never smiling? You smile and you have a much look. And he has a much better attitude around him. So like the flower, his aroma is a little bit better. And then we have this young man over here with his hand on his look, now he's even going to start to lay up. He was an honorable sad sack when he came in. Yeah, we used to have one that used to drag him in. You could actually see the cloud over his head. Mm-hmm. Not you. That's John, remember? Couldn't you see John? Remember John? You remember John, yes. Couldn't you see the cloud over his head when he came in? Mm-hmm. He's better now. What I'm saying is, you're wonderful, and you're changing, and you're doing things. You see? So pat yourselves on the back. Be proud of yourself. You're learning something new, and you're changing your mind. You're learning that there's a different way to go through life, that you don't have to have all these nips and fleas of life that everyone else has. You see? Life is not a soap opera or a B-grade movie. But yet you want to live in that. You don't have to live in that. You're doing it. You're creating it. You are creating your life every moment with your thinking. So what are you thinking about? And what are you thinking about yourself? Hold yourself in the highest of esteem. Love yourself. Till you cannot stand it any longer. Know that you have talent, that you have wonderful capabilities, and that you have a genius inside of you that wants to come out and play. And then allow that to happen. Give yourself permission to allow that to happen. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.